Hi, this is Amy Acker, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Welcome to Rated NA episode number 81 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We are here to talk about all things video games, movies, tabletop games, and everything else that we love to talk about. But today, we have a very special guest. Ash, why don't you tell us a little bit about her?
Oh, man. So actress Amy Acker, for some unknown reason, actually agreed to be on our podcast.
Hey, we're nice people. Come on.
Yeah,
I think that's actually the first question that we asked her, and I really just wanted to know. I asked her, you know, why did you agree to be on the podcast? You're gonna have to listen and actually listen to her answer because it's pretty funny.
And all of your gushing.
Okay, so to be perfect, if you've never heard this podcast before, normally I keep it. You know, when we do interviews, I try and contain myself, but this one I was so excited about, I totally turned into a super fanboy and just gushed really for the entire. No, I lost it. I lost my cool because
how could you not?
For those of you who don't know who Amy Acker is, she starred on Angel, she starred on Dollhouse, she was on Alias. You know, she's in the new Joss Whedon film, Much Ado About Nothing, and she's incredible.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah. She, I mean, has incredible range, can play pretty much anything and everything, and she is incredibly nice. And she was obviously nice enough to come on our little podcast, and which is amazing.
She's one of those people that, like, my wife loves, but yet you love. Like, she's just, like, all personalities. Like, everybody's into her, so it's a good thing. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, and you think that someone who's so successful, who's in all kinds of different shows like Grimm and Alias, and, I mean, her resume is huge. Yeah, exactly. You think that she would be kind of like high on herself? She's probably one of the most humble, sweet people that I've ever talked to.
Yeah,
so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So tune into this interview, and I think you guys will enjoy it.
Yeah, and if you stick around after the interview, we're going to talk about Skyfall, Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3, and even some tabletop gaming that I happened to do over this past week. So
what?
Yeah. So stick around and listen after the interview. And here is the interview with Amy Acker.
Okay, we are here, Rated NA episode 81, with our very special guest, Amy Acker, and you may know her from Angel and Dollhouse, Cabin in the Woods, and pretty much every single genre show on the planet. She's been in them all, and we are beyond excited. We jumped through some technical hurdles to have her here, but we are so glad you're here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's ridiculous. So the first question on our list... it's kind of a joke question, but it's also, you sent me an email, you're like, yeah, like, I'll come on. And first of all, I was blown away because you're like, yeah, I just did The Nerdist and that'll be on. And for those in the podcast community, The Nerdist is like, that's the biggest podcast in all the land.
Just spiked him.
Yeah, you don't really get bigger than The Nerdist podcast. And Chris Hardwick sort of sets the bar very, very high. I mean, he had Tom Hanks on a couple weeks ago.
Well, I wasn't interviewed by Chris, but Janet Varney, who's a mutual friend of ours, and so she was like, "You should come to it," and I didn't. And then I was looking at the whole website, and I was like, "Oh, wow!"
Yeah, that's incredible. So our first question is, why did you agree to come on here?
I don't know. You ask. You seem like nice people.
You're so nice.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that. We actually we're not bad sometimes. We're actually kind of nice. And yeah. We think that you're amazing, so we're super stoked to have you on. So we always like to start when we have guests on. We like to start kind of at the beginning and kind of get a feel of, you know, how you got to where you are today. So one of the first questions I really enjoy asking is, like, kind of tell us what you were like when you were little, you know, before you started acting, and maybe how you caught the acting bug, and a little bit about your, you know, your early history.
Well, growing up, I was super, super shy. Like, my parents always got mad at me for not talking and when people spoke to me and all of that stuff. Aww. They weren't mean, but they were just rude. And I wanted to be a ballet dancer, so I took ballet from the time I was 3 until I was 17. When I was in high school, I had knee surgery, so I had to stop dancing, and I took a random, requirement for graduation of a fine arts thing and took a theater class thinking, oh, I'm too shy and I'll hate this, but I ended up loving it and had an amazing high school theater teacher who was, she really pushed everybody to do things that I don't think, when I got to college and started studying theater, I was like, wow, I already know all this stuff.
That's great.
From my high school teacher. So yeah, I kind of just realized if I was saying things that other people wrote who were really great writers and smart, then it was a lot more than I didn't mind talking in front of people.
So you lucked out and had a good teacher that kind of inspired you and pushed you in the right direction, which is always a good thing to hear,
Yeah, sure.
Very cool. So you grew up in Texas, correct?
Yes.
You started acting pretty much in high school was your beginning?
Yeah, I didn't really do, I had done like a couple of little like commercial things because I don't know how that happened exactly, but I had done a little bit of that, but not like real acting until high school.
Yeah, that's incredible. So we're going to jump ahead to where I first saw you, and people always get mad because I always tell backstories when I do interviews, but I'll tell my story of how I first saw you.
No.
So we used to, and this is funny, we were in college and we used to sit around and watch Buffy as a big group, and there were guys and girls, and we got really into it. We just thought it was, so much fun, and we'd always order pizza and have like Buffy night, and then Angel came on and we started, no, this is true. And we sat around, we'd watch Angel, and there was a time when Buffy and Angel were back to back, and it was just like, a couple hours of just like geeky awesomeness. I'm sure you remember that time quite well. And I remember when your character came on and I was like, well, what are they going to do with this character? Because you literally were in a cave and you were crazy and you were just scrawling things on the wall of the cave. And I was like, are they going to, I didn't think they were going to bring you back because you were in like Pylea. You were in like the, the alternate universe place. Yeah. And so what I want to know is when you first read for Fred, what did you think about the script? Because you were absolutely crazy. So had you ever played crazy before? I mean, was that something that you were prepared for?
I think that, I got super lucky and I got that job I had only lived out here. Well, I'd pretty much just moved here and I still had that idea from college, where you can play, where your cast is like the 80-year-old grandmother and you're 22 and you're like, I'm perfect for this part. So I was sort of still in that mindset that I could play whatever part. And the original size is actually, I'm pretty sure, I don't know what DVD of it is it's on, but my audition scene was all about a library. Like she wasn't in Pylea or crazy, or it was like a girl who worked at a library. And then Joss wrote another scene because they were trying to find a new character, a new girl to add onto the show, but they weren't sure who it was going to be. And they were kind of tossing around different ideas of characters who had already been on and, different things. And he wrote that scene from, I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was with Alexis and Jay and I, and it was, we're in a library and it's kind of Shakespearean. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't remember. I haven't.
It wasn't on it never aired.
Was it a deleted scene?
It was on like a DVD extra.
Okay. Cause I watched those when those came out, but it's been quite a while, but
exactly.
Yeah. So that's amazing though. When you first saw that though, were you aware kind of who Joss was and stuff? Were you?
Well, I feel like maybe we went to the same college because we had the pizza Buffy night party also.
Oh, really?
So
that is awesome.
I had done that.
So you were freaking out when you were reading for that part. You're like, holy crap, this is my, this is like, these are my people, you know?
I was just excited because I just think he's such a good writer, and I feel so blessed that I got to meet him and get to say the things that he writes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he's obviously, we're all big fans here. That goes without saying. And we're really proud of, you know, all the strides he's made for nerds everywhere. The fact that, you know, we kind of feel like he's leading the charge to, you know, he's our knight in shining armor when you're making things cool now. We thank him for that. So that's very cool. So, you know, one of the scenes, and when we did a print interview with you a while ago, and you were so nice to do that for us, so thank you for that. But I brought up your transformation from Fred to Illyria and kind of how strange that, you know, that was. And I remember as a fan sitting there and watching that scene happen, and I think it was I remember sitting with my friends, and I actually remember hurling a piece of pizza that may have hit my TV because I was pretty upset that I was pretty upset at what happened. And because I didn't know, you know, when they killed you at first, I didn't know they were going to bring you back, and they brought you back. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Cause I wanted to see, you know, if you could play a tough character, and holy cow, you were like so tough. So how was that transition from going like mousy Fred to, you know, being this amazing, like, you know, Illyria was just incredible in terms of how, you know, different and tough she was.
It was a lot of fun, and I had a lot of time to sort of figure out what the character was going to be, because Joss had told me, actually, at Allie and Alexis's wedding, he gave me scenes for Illyria that he just wrote that actually weren't ever in the show.
I
have them somewhere. I should probably find those someday. but he just to kind of give me a sense of what the character was. And then after having those for a few weeks, he invited me and Alexis over, and we at his old house, they had, for some reason, it was really cool, and they didn't use it very often, but they had different, they could make their kitchen different colors.
Oh wow.
He was like playing around with the colored lights and ended up on the blue lights, and then we were just kind of talking about kind of the insect aspect, and we, you know, drank wine and hung out and ordered and we all kind of made this character up together, which was a really fun way to do it. And then we still didn't shoot it for another month or two after that. So wow. I had a lot of time to sit with the character.
That is really cool. So it seems like from reading interviews with a lot of actors that Joss likes to use, like it is a collaborative process with him, you know, like he really likes to talk to you guys and see kind of what you want to play and go from there, which I think is really pretty admirable. You know, the fact that he admires you guys so much to include you in the process.
Yeah, he definitely has like he came up with the idea and the character when he first told me. He said, "Can you meet me for coffee?" And then he was like, "I just wanted you to know I'm killing Fred." tears down my eyes. Okay, that's fine. I get it.
Oh my god.
And he waited like way too long just to torture me. But you're still going to be on the show.
Oh, man. It must be kind of like a scary thing when Joss invites you to coffee, because he is sort of notorious for like killing, you know, some of his fan favorite characters.
I know. Luckily, it doesn't mean that you're dead. Yeah. Really, in his eyes. So.
Anything but coffee, please. Like, just give me a phone call, please. You know, I'm kind of gushing. This is kind of a gushy interview/hangout session, so I'm sorry, but I'm just gonna gush and get it over with. But I was an Alias fan too, and your role as Peyton, I thought, was awesome. There was actually a scene I remember vividly of you like walking on a rooftop with like an exploding helicopter behind you with like a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
How awesome was that? I mean,
I felt really lucky to be in that show too. And I that pretty much came from Angel, because Jeff Bell and Drew Goddard had gone from Angel over to Alias, and they were like, you have to, you know, they brought me in, and I auditioned first for the part of her sister.
Okay. Yeah, and I think her name was Nadia.
Nadia, yes, yes. And I was still filming on Angel, but we had been canceled. And I remember I had to go back over there to meet with some other people, but I was in my Illyria makeup, and it was the only day they could see me. So I drove from Paramount to Disney in full Illyria makeup.
That's incredible. Do you think that your role, not just because of the makeup, but do you think the, you know, how powerful of a character O'Leary was, do you think maybe that helped you, you know, other than your relationship with the, you know, the crew, helped you actually land that role? Because, I mean, that, you know, Peyton was a pretty tough.
People totally saw me in it for a while after Illyria and Alias. It was like, I just want to be nice again. Everyone was making me kill people and be mean.
Funny. That's amazing.
Like, whatever you do last, that's sort of like, that's yeah. What, he's mean.
Okay. Typecast forevermore as a villain.
Yeah.
So going back even before Angel, I noticed that you were in Catch Me If You Can, which is a great Leo DiCaprio film. It was that really kind of like the turning point? Because it seems like just looking at your resume, I mean, you've just had constant work from that point on. And it's, you know, always amazing stuff. So I'm also a huge fan. I'm not gushing as much as Ash.
I can't help it. I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm so unprofessional.
Oh, no. Do you think that that was kind of like your, you know, aha moment? Like, this is going to work.
Oh, that's nice of you to say that. That movie, I was actually on Angel already.
Okay.
And I did Catch Me If You Can. And what's kind of funny about that is that they said, you know, it's going to be 2 days or something. And so I got off, Angel let me off for 2 days. And then it was running behind, and it ended up being like a 4-day job, and they couldn't change the schedule on Angel, so I couldn't go the last 2 days. So okay. I like walking. If you look at the girls like walking into the airport, I'm there, and then there's another girl.
You must have been kind of agitated. You're like, no.
Yes, it was that important that they couldn't just put another girl on here. But yeah.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
I mean, but I'm blown away by how many shows I love that I've seen you, I recognized you in all of them, but it's just so cool to see like the list of all of the stuff that you've worked on. I mean, when did you decide that this is going to be your career? Like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
I think pretty much the first time I did something in high school, I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to be a dancer anymore. Like, I was just like, this is what I'm gonna do. And there was a point in time where I was like, oh, maybe my dad's a lawyer and my mom is mostly a mom, but you know, they were like, well, don't you want to do something else to have a, you know? So I was like, well, maybe I'll major in genetic engineering and theater.
Oh, wow. Like
a 4-month period before college where I was like, well, that'll be good because those things will help me.
That's amazing.
Once I started college for theater and realized, no, that would be impossible. But I just don't have anything else that I want to do. So I've never really felt like it was a choice that there was another option. So I'm glad that it's worked out.
That is, yeah, amazing.
I don't know what else I'd be doing right now.
So, you know, looking at kind of what Hillary was talking about, the variety of roles that you've played are pretty amazing. I mean, you've played everything from, you know, super spies to like fairies and crazy like spider mantis women and stuff like that.
Amazing.
Yeah, which was terrifying, by the way. It was awesome. Do you think that like I said, the variety of roles you played, it's just incredible. Do you think you're easy to cast or hard to cast? Because since you've played so many different things, I mean, when you go in for a role, I mean, it seems like at this point you can pretty much play anything.
Well, that's nice of you. Thanks. You know what? I feel like for me, it's harder to think about because I'm like, well, I want to do that role, but you know, I kind of trying to think how to say this. I feel like I don't ever really just play myself. I guess Fred was the closest to playing just me. So I really enjoy playing very different roles and different characters. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, I've been super lucky that those have been people like Grimm was Greenwalt from Angel, and Once Upon a Time was Jane from Dollhouse and Buffy. And so it's all people who just sort of me, and they were just like, oh, Amy could do that. But I don't know. I don't really audition for that weird of roles. So I'm glad that I get the opportunity to do them, because that's what I'm always like, I want to be like there was a show that there was an audition for, and I was like, but I want to go in for like the really nerdy friend. And they were like, no, they want to see you for the lawyer. And I was like, no, I'm the nerdy girl, you know. So I feel like I'm always trying to be like, I'm more of the character person.
That's amazing. So go ahead, Hillary.
Go ahead. So I was just going to say, I'm sure that some of our listeners are people who eventually would love to get into acting or, you know, kind of do what you do. Would you say that one of the best keys to that would be to establish, you know, a really solid network of people who do the same thing as you? I'm in the business world. So, I mean, to me, it makes sense to network. Is acting kind of like that as well?
I mean, that's been the case with my career. I would say my number one piece of advice would be to, you know, get cast in something that Joss makes.
Because that's
people pretty, love him.
And that's pretty good advice.
he seems pretty amazing. I have to say. So
it doesn't
and
help
he
that
he hires great writers who go on to do other great stuff. So it's a lot of good people.
And he seems like such a nice guy.
He really does.
I'm sure he would love you guys.
Oh, good. That's nice to hear. That is a great segue since we're talking about Mr. Whedon. Much ado about nothing. So there's so much about this we need to ask you because we haven't had the opportunity to see it yet. Where is it playing now in like New York, LA?
No, it's not opening until the spring or summer.
Okay, good. I'm glad I was wrong about that then.
Yeah, it was at the Toronto Film Festival and Lionsgate Roadside bought it and they are supposed to release it sometime. And what I heard was late spring or early summer.
Oh, excellent. So hopefully it gets a nice wide release and we all get the opportunity to see it.
Hopefully somewhere.
Because there's...
It will be in New York, but...
Yeah.
Hopefully Orlando.
So you're actually billed at the top of that cast, and that cast is absolutely incredible. So that had to be, you know, very flattering to be on the top of that list of names.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm also Amy Acker, so maybe
it could simply be alphabetical.
I'm really excited for people to get to see it. I mean, it's to me, it's a totally different kind of thing than I feel like it's out there. I mean, we made it so quickly, but it was all. Whenever I watch it, it just makes me smile because it's like you can just tell that it's a bunch of friends hanging out, doing something that they love together and like having a good time together. And, you know, we didn't know that it was going to get put in the theaters. Yeah. We had no idea what was going to happen with it. But I'm sure that there's millions of mistakes and, you know, things. Done differently, but for filming something in 12 days and having 2 weeks notice that we were going to shoot it, I think it was it's just
crazy
a fun thing to go and see and experience and be like,
you just really feel like you're there in the movie with everybody.
And yeah, that is absolutely incredible. I mean, you mentioned that in your print interview with us a while back that it did shoot in 12 days. And I think you mentioned something to the effect that, you know, Joss was like literally hot off the Avengers. And he had like the option of taking a family vacation or shooting a movie. And he went with, oh, I'll just go ahead and do this instead. and how, I mean, so how did you guys do this in 12 days? And I know you said you rehearsed a bit and stuff, but still it had to be pretty insane.
Oh, there's smoke detector.
That's how good our podcast is.
We're on fire.
That'll be the most exciting. we did rehearse a little bit, and you know, everyone just kind of had to know what they were doing. There was no time for anybody to not know their lines or not. So everyone worked really, really hard, and when they weren't shooting a scene, it was kind of like we were in this commune of their amazing house, but we were all sitting there and you would see like one corner with two people running lines together. And then outside there's a bench where some other people are running their scene for tomorrow. And, you know, everyone was just like constantly working together to make it happen. And Joss would walk around and be like, oh, I have an idea. Think about this for this. And, you know, and the main thing is that we all trust him so much that you just knew that he was gonna, well, I've never seen something that he's done that I haven't liked. So I'm always like, well, we have that going for us.
There you go. Yeah. I think we're right there with you. So
but then we should be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Trust in Joss.
So in your theater background, did you do any Shakespeare prior to this?
My first job out of college was Much Ado. I played Hero at a theater in Wisconsin, American Players Theater. And my friend who I met there, she was, it was a repertory theater. So she was doing another play, but we met there and she is playing Ursula in Joss's movie. So
oh, neat.
That's cool.
He's just become friends with her from me. And he was like, oh, Emma should be in this too. Y'all not doing the play. I was like, great.
The cast list does seem like a who's who from like the history of you know, Joss's past works, which is pretty awesome to see, you know, like Alexis is in there and you're in there. And geez, I mean, you have Clark Gregg in there too from sort of, you know, his Avengers stuff. And it's just awesome to see, like, you know, I can't wait to see how all these different actors that I'm used to seeing are fit into this, you know, Shakespeare, how into these Shakespearean roles is going to be pretty cool.
Did everyone have an accent?
I like it. No accent. No one has an accent. So.
Oh, cool.
It's
that'll
all
be fun.
Modern, you know, there's iPhones and it's black and white. And
oh, awesome.
Everyone's wearing their own clothes. Shauna, the costume designer who is on Angel and Firefly and Dollhouse, she just came over to everybody's houses and picked out our clothes from our closets.
That's amazing.
Oh, I love that.
That is so cool.
It's really fun.
So if you filmed it in 12 days, how many hours per day do you think you guys worked?
It wasn't that long of days because we didn't have many, like it had to be in the daylight. So we would stop and it was over when it got dark outside. Other than there was like, I think only two nights that they had set up that it could be night shoots. So, and that was limited by the darkness. So they were pretty easy days. I mean, we got one or two takes of everything. It wasn't, you had to know what you were going to do and do it, or, you know, be happy with whatever you did do. Cause there wasn't always a second chance.
That's amazing. So do you think perhaps that, this is kind of a dumb question, sorry. Do you think perhaps his idea to shoot this was kind of born out of like the very famous like Shakespearean nights at Joss Whedon's house that we've all read about and kind of dreamt about being a fly on the wall and watching all you guys hanging out reading Shakespeare?
We actually read this play, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, and Alexis and I read Beatrice and Benedict. And
oh, wow.
Had decided, you know, he said he always thought, well, that would be the one that I would do first if I was going to do a movie of it, because it's all in one place. And he, you know.
Yeah.
Alexis and I and Josh. It's back to our Elaria night, you know.
I know, yeah.
So we just saw like any excuse for the three of us to get to hang out.
Oh, I know. I'm beyond excited to see you know, that you guys all together again, because that the scene still, and this is what I said in the print interview as well, but the scene with you and Alexis where you know Fred dies is still one of, like, as a young man, I was watching that and I was like, with all my buddies and everything, trying to be cool, you know, but I was like,
I'm not going to cry.
But I was like, on the inside, I was like, I'm just going to throw this pizza instead.
I love that you threw pizza.
I was really upset. I'm still kind of upset about it. I don't want to. sorry, I'm tearing up right now. So, you know, the inevitable question, and I know you did get asked this at New York Comic Con, to which you replied no, but I'm going to ask you again because I'm persistent. S.H.I.E.L.D., please be on it.
I know. I mean, I wish that I could say I had had a phone call. No, I think, I just saw they cast some more people today.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Man. How about this? If they ask you to be a villain, would you at least consider it?
I would be on it. It's not me saying, oh no, please don't guess.
What about Clark Gregg's nerdy friend?
Yes.
I would be very happy with that.
Awesome. Well, we hope that the right ears hear this and that you make your way to being on S.H.I.E.L.D., because I would be super happy. That would be awesome. Because I'm really excited for that show. I'm like, you know, I grew up with those comics. So just like having Joss's fingers all over the comics I grew up on is crazy. It's like, yeah. It's like a Reese's peanut butter cup. It's just like too good to be true.
Goodness. I mean, the whole group behind it is going to be awesome. I am excited to see it, but of course I would love to do anything on it.
Awesome. Awesome. Of course,
you know, everyone who's ever worked with Joss is like,
yeah, please put me on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Maybe there's a chance.
Right. So the next question is completely off topic, but we're all Game of Thrones fans. And in our interview with you last time, you said you had just started watching the TV series, and we were wondering if you finished watching it.
No. It's okay. I need to get back on it. I'm terrible. I need to just sit and watch it. I haven't watched anything. I get so tired. I need to drink coffee at night.
You are kind of a busy person, so
yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little busy. You're on every show on television.
Yeah, pretty much.
9:30.
Amazing. Well, it gets good. So maybe next time I have you on in a couple of years, we'll ask you and you'll say yes.
Okay.
So when you do get 5 minutes or half an hour or whatever to sit down and watch TV, what kinds of things do you watch? I mean, because we know you in such like as Ash was saying, in a variety of different roles, what do you watch? Like what kind of things inspire you?
I mostly watch I've been watching The Mob Doctor because my husband's on it.
Awesome.
I have to watch. But no, he's great on that. So that's been the most consistent thing. And then I watched all of Newsroom.
Wasn't that
so good?
Yeah. So good.
That one, yeah, I think because with like Game of Thrones, there's so many. I'm so far behind that we start to get overwhelmed.
No, it is hard.
I really want to watch Downton Abbey.
So good.
I think Hillary's seen that.
Yeah.
I have yet to see
I'm a big fan.
My husband's been watching Breaking Bad all on his own. So he's on like season 4. And I feel like he's like, well, you have to catch up. So that's on the list.
I haven't watched that yet either. I'm behind on that one.
Yeah. I like to watch Once Upon a Time, and
so
I
love good.
That show. I like to watch, you know, if I'm just flipping, I'll watch. I don't know. I'm pretty easy to please.
So when you were on Once Upon a Time, can you kind of tell us about that? Because it sounds like the set and the people who work there are so cool. I actually got to talk to Raphael Sabarge about Once Upon a Time. I do some work for BioWare, so I was able to meet him since he'd done some voiceover work for them. His story has just made it seem like a dream to work with that in that environment and with that cast. Did you kind of experience that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I was like a little bit nerding out because I love Big Love so much.
Oh, yes. I love that show.
So when I met Jennifer Goodwin, I was like, I'm your biggest fan ever.
That's amazing.
Step back a little bit. So, but I mean, it is. It's like a magical show. You get there, and then they're like putting you in these big poofy costumes, and there's all, you know, it just feels like it's all so surreal, and getting to fly. And it was really fun for me because David Solomon directed my episode, and he was the showrunner for Dollhouse. So it was like just like going. There was so much. It was so comfortable to be there, and everyone was so great. And Vancouver's probably my favorite city in the world. So
awesome.
There's nothing bad about it. I you know, they keep saying that hopefully I'll come back. So I'm like, yes, I would love that.
That's great.
Yes,
yeah, we loved you. So we hope we see you back on there.
Thank you.
Excellent. Hillary, why don't you take the next one?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I think shows like Buffy and Angel really showed kind of girls out there. I mean, a couple of my favorite shows, to be sure, when I was, you know, in college and whatever. But it kind of broke in this idea that girls could be nerds, or girls can like nerdy things that traditionally had been like really male oriented.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's your take on kind of the influx of the nerd culture kind of taking over all genders? So what do you kind of feel like you contributed to that, or what's your take on that?
I don't know. I mean, I was always kind of nerdy growing up, so I just assumed that was okay. So I mean, I think it's great. And like looking at people like Felicia, and, you know, I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's just like made this whole, you know, she's like the queen of that, and you know, everyone should want to be her because she's so awesome and she's so talented and good at everything she does. And I think it's definitely made people realize that actually all the people that you want to be when you grow up are the nerds, the people who you maybe when we were all in high school, it was like,
yeah.
Oh no. But that's really the smart, cool people anyway. So
indeed. Yeah.
True.
and I agree. I think Felicia Day has done so much, you know, for web content and, you know, kind of opening people's eyes to a lot of, you know, different ways to be creative. So I think it's great.
Yeah.
You know?
It yeah.
Awesome. So, you know, our famous question that we ask, and we asked you this earlier as well, but we always like to ask our guests what their secret nerdy hobby or passion is, like maybe something you collect or something that you watch or a hobby that you participate in that you're almost a little embarrassed of. Do you have anything that's kind of like your secret collection or anything?
I did just sign up for a class on learning how to pickle things.
That's amazing.
I'm very excited about it.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Can we perhaps purchase some of your pickles?
Maybe I should take the class after December 1st.
That is amazing. So you're going to learn to be a pickler. Is that what they're called? Picklers?
I think they should be if they're not. I think that's the right name. Yeah.
That's awesome. So what stuff of yours coming up can we look forward to? Or do you have anything to plug or anything we can kind of keep our eyes out for?
know, I'm going back in the second half of the season. I'll be on Person of Interest again.
Oh, awesome.
And Much Ado coming out in the spring. And so that's kind of it right now. But yeah, I think, yeah, they're both very different, being very evil and Person of Interest. And I just hope everyone loves Much Ado. I think you guys will like it.
Yeah, we'll totally love it. You don't have to worry about us.
Yeah, we're in. So what's your favorite, just as we're closing things off a bit, but what's your favorite project that you've worked on? Or if you don't want to name a specific project, like, do you enjoy playing a villain over, you know, an ingenue or whatever?
I mean, I think that it's hard not to choose Angel because I got to do everything, you know. Mm-hmm. I started out crazy, like you said, writing on walls in an alternate dimension and ended up like a blue demon goddess of another alternate dimension.
Amazing.
It was such... And I also like that show. 1 week it would be like that episode, I think it was called Billy, where it was like a horror thing and they were chasing people around the hotel and trying to kill people. And then the next week we're like, have Muppets or smoking pot, yes. Or, you know, it's like, it was funny, scary, everything.
It was great.
Really fun.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We won't keep you for too much longer. And, you know, we appreciate it more than you know. And I'm sure our listeners are going to freak out because...
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely will.
I don't think they believed us. So we're excited to share this with them. So
thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to our chat with Amy Acker. Make sure that you keep your eye out for Much Ado About Nothing. And that should be coming to theaters, I believe she said, in spring, summer of next year. So keep your eyes out for that. And of course, hopefully she joins the cast of S.H.I.E.L.D. in some capacity, because that would be awesome. I couldn't help but beg her during the interview. That was like my lowest moment. Yeah. I was like, will you be in S.H.I.E.L.D., please?
I don't even know if that was a question. I think it was more like a plea.
It was like a demand.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I did delete one of the questions that we had originally written. That was, will you be my friend? Question.
Yeah, I think I struck that one.
Yeah, Hillary wouldn't let me say that. It was a little bit too,
too much. Good call.
Yes. So what have you guys been doing? I actually saw Matt and Scott in the same place at the same time. For those of you who are just tuning in, we podcast from all over the place. Scott and I are in Orlando. Matt's in Brooklyn, and Hillary is in L.A., you know, doing horrible things in L.A.
What?
Whoa. Way to reignite that East Coast, West Coast feud.
But yes, anyways, the save Ash from this downfall. I came to Florida for the weekend for a wedding. I had a family member get married, and we went to Orlando because it was Scott's wife's birthday, and we all hung out and went to Disney. It was fun. We went to Epcot, actually, and I rode Spaceship Earth for the first time ever in my life.
It was
pretty
amazing.
Did you go to Harry Potter Land after?
No, that's not there. That's somewhere else.
I know it's not at Disney.
You know what else I learned, and I probably shouldn't out this on the... Well, nobody listens, so it doesn't really matter. My silver pass for Marvel still works.
Uh-oh.
So, right. We got info free into Disney. Who cares?
I mean, they're free for
like, they know. Those are actually passes from my friend Lori at Marvel, so you can say thank you to Lori, who also doesn't listen to this, most likely. But the Marvel kids never really, you know, they're a weird crew. But yeah, so we were there hanging out, and then I flew home. Are we getting into what we're doing? Yeah, let's just do it.
Sure.
Why not?
Let's do it.
So I'll keep this remotely brief compared to my usual stories. We're getting on the plane to fly home. We find out the flight's delayed till 8:10. They go, oh, well, the problem isn't that the airplane's not here. Like, the airplane's here, but LaGuardia's having issues. So we're just waiting for them to give us the okay, and then we're all going to get on the plane. We're like, all right, it's fine. And then at like 7:40, they're like, oh, we're going to board early because we think they're going to give us the okay, and we just want to be ready to go right when they give us the okay so we can, you know, get there earlier.
Uh-huh.
So we get us on the plane, and like we're sitting on the plane, and they start taxiing around. And the, you know, pilot gets on. He's like, "All right, well, we're fifth in line. Still waiting for the okay from LaGuardia. Hopefully, everything will work out." And then he comes on. And he's like, "All right, we're next in line. LaGuardia gave us the okay. We're about to take off." And it was like 8. And then all of a sudden, the call signal for the attendants just starts going crazy. It's like ding, 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 ding. Like it was going off like insanely a lot.
Uh-oh.
And the attendants come like flying back. There was like 3 rows behind me, and some dude had just passed the hell out of the chair.
Oh no!
Oh great!
And like couldn't remember his name, and they were like, "Are you flying with anybody?" And he couldn't really talk, so they were like trying to keep him conscious, essentially. Oh, and so then they tell the pilot, and the pilot's like, "Well, folks, we got to go back to the gate." And we're like, "Oh my god!" So we go back to the gate. We have to wait. The paramedics come on. Like, police is on the plane. They're all trying to get the guy off. They're finding out if he's got any bags on the plane, if there's anything underneath. And he says, yeah. So they have to, like, get the bag out from underneath.
Whoa.
And all the other stuff. And so they finally get him off. We get back in line, and they're like, luckily, we're not, you know, too far out of line. We should be the next one taking off. So we end up not taking off until 9 o'clock or a little bit after. We fly. We get to New York, and it's like 11:10, 11:15. Now I left 8 hours previous to this for my 2-hour flight to New York.
Ugh.
And we get to LaGuardia, we land, and the pilot comes on, who I'm sure at this point was just like, what the hell else can go wrong? He comes on and he's like, well, folks, in the list of what's happened today, we don't have a gate ready for us at LaGuardia, so we're just gonna have to drive around for a few minutes. And we just drove around LaGuardia for an hour before they opened a gate up for us finally to
like
pull
the plane
into.
Like the plane just taxied around?
We just taxied around until they had a gate available.
Wow.
No
gate
for us. But otherwise, it was a really nice vacation and we loved seeing everybody. So it just was like it was a brutal end to leaving Florida. But
yeah, for sure.
Hang out for a little bit at Epcot and drink and eat around the world, which is always good.
Always good. Anything else going on?
It was fun. It was good seeing everybody.
We played a game, and this is going to be really brief. We played a tabletop game called Flux. Scott, I don't know if you've ever played this. It's a card game.
I've heard of it.
It is fucking awesome. It is so good. I think even Ash would like this game. It's really honest.
Even Ash?
I don't like anything.
You don't really.
We wield that a lot, don't we? We wield that stick a lot. You know, even Ash would like this.
Like card games and board games. Come on, Ash. Are you gonna tell me you don't hate those games?
I just hate playing with you guys.
Because
you beat me all the time. I just get tired of losing.
Well, this game.
Yeah, you guys are too competitive. The game's about hugging.
This game is about hugging. No.
We would win those too.
It's a themed game like Munchkin, so you can get like. You know, there's one called Star Flux, and it's all like all space sci-fi themed with all, you know, like nothing that breaks copyright, but, you know, is really close to breaking copyright or whatever. And the one I got was called Oz Flux because my wife loves Wizard of Oz. And I thought that was the only way I'd get anyone to play it in this house. Yeah. But we ended up playing with her and her sister and loved it. This concept is that there are no rules. So you start out with like a basic, it's just draw one, play one card kind of thing. And then the cards that you get in your hand create rules and create goals. So like you'll play a goal, it'll be like you need to have these two characters on the board. And then the goal is to try to get those two characters. But if somebody else plays a goal, the goal will go away and a new one will come out. And then there's rule cards where it'll be like instead of draw one, play one, it would be draw one, play four. Or like play everything in your hand. Or you can only have two cards at a time. Things like that. Like the rules are just constantly shifting and overriding each other. And the goals are constantly changing. And it just makes for a really, really fun game. And like you start to build like a master plan. And then somebody else just ices it by like, you know, shifting all the keepers around that you have in front of
you.
Sounds
awesome.
It's really, really cool. Fun. It's really easy to pick up. Like, we picked it up and we're playing it within 15 minutes. And the games take maybe 30 minutes unless something goes horribly awry. And then
nice.
Highly recommend nice. It. It's just called Flux, FLUXX. And cool. I got it on Amazon for like $11.
Score.
Sweet.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You know what I just ordered from Amazon?
What's what? That?
I ordered a case of sriracha peas.
Oh, because you got those at Epcot. Yeah, now you're hooked.
I got them at Epcot, and my wife tried one, and she's like, oh my god, these are the best things ever. She literally got on Amazon and ordered a case of them for like $13.
Oh my
and
god.
And so now we have a giant case of sriracha.
Come over to your house.
They're so good.
So what else have what have you guys been doing? What have you been playing and watching? And
well, I started my second playthrough of Borderlands 2, and it's awesome. I kind of wish it was my first playthrough of Borderlands 2, because I already have all the abilities and all the guns, and now it's just kind of like, it's a big CF trying to get through the game because I'm dying all the time, but I'm still having fun. You know what I'm saying? I know, Ash, you went through the second playthrough, right?
Yeah, the True Vault Hunter is actually, I prefer it because, you know, you do have your skill trees pretty much unlocked, and your weapons are better, and it's just, it's a much more intense experience because they throw new enemies at you, you know? And it is a lot more fun. So, you know, by then you've become pretty good at the game. So now it's like, oh, okay, I can use all the skills that I've learned and all the skills I've unlocked to actually, you know, have a good time. So, so it is a lot of fun.
It's super exciting. And then I think Gearbox just announced that on Tuesday, the second DLC add-on is coming out. Am I correct about that?
You are. So it'll be the day that this comes out probably. And that's Mr. Torque's. Torg? Is that how you say it?
I think that's it. Anyways, it's going to be awesome. Yeah, so they posted a couple
screenshots.
It comes
out on Tuesday, and it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And I guess the only other thing I did of consequence was I got Angry Birds Star Wars from my Microsoft Surface tablet.
So good.
So good. I've been playing the poop out of that thing, man. It is awesome.
I picked it up from my Nexus yesterday.
Crossover.
It doesn't matter. I mean, like, I thought I was done with Angry Birds, but I guess I'm just a sucker for anything Star Wars. But
I thought the art is awesome, though. I thought it was really good how they did it.
No, the art is good, and I think they implemented the new abilities like really well in the in the spirit of Angry Birds and Star Wars. It was kind of a good melding of the two, and it's quite challenging too. So
it is.
Yep, having fun with that. Mm. So I guess that's sad. That's all I've been up to. But
aww,
sad.
Well, you know, work has been busy, you guys. So I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
Hillary, what have you been doing?
So I passed Assassin's Creed 3, which was amazing.
You
I mean,
it? Do people still use?
Are you
that
sure
word?
You're not Canadian?
Yeah,
because only a Canadian would say that they passed a game.
Yeah,
fine. I beat the game. There is that go. Better?
Yes.
Fine. I'll be American. Yeah.
You beat into submission.
I beat the game. Yeah. So I beat Assassin's Creed 3. And it was amazing. I have to say, a lot of the criticism that I had in the last episode, I totally take back. There was awesome music. I got to experience the epic battle with, you know, the... Oh, it was just amazing. And the storyline
no
was... I know, the storyline was fantastic. I mean, I literally... I don't know, I was sobbing at the end of it. So it was it was really, really good. It was very emotionally engaging.
Would I sob, though? Would I sob?
If you get really attached to certain characters, I think I don't know if you'd sob, you might get a little tear, but it was just one of the most amazing games ever. I'm more bought into the franchise than I ever have been, which is huge because I'm probably one of the biggest Assassin's Creed fans out there.
I ask if it's going to satisfy Scott's need of the present day story timeline stuff?
You get to play Desmond a lot more and in a really cool way. Yeah, you actually get to, he's actually quite badass. So I think Scott, you'll like that. I'm not sure you're going to, I'm not even going to say it. No, I'm going to give away way too many spoilers.
I didn't know if that question was way too spoilery. I just wanted to know if.
Seriously, anyway. Guys. I just want Kay Bell back. Can I just get her back? Is that
That's Scott's whole hang-up. No Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
The thing is, they actually go into why Desmond stabbed her. So, just...
Wait, Desmond stabbed?
What?
What?
Oh, my.
That happened a long time
ago,
dude.
Like 2.5 games ago. Oh, I miss her so much.
Cool.
Sounds good.
Cool.
Awesome.
And then also, I got pretty excited this week when Bethesda announced Dragonborn, a new DLC for Skyrim.
Yeah,
so that's going to be out on the 4th. I'm so excited. The new trailer just dropped, and it's about somebody says you didn't think you were the only one. So basically, there's another Dragonborn, and you get to ride dragons. You get to go to new places. I guess an island that was in Morrowind. I'm so excited about it. Just everything that I've seen looks so cool.
Ride roller coasters, sing songs.
But riding a dragon. Come on.
Yeah. Is it a man-faced luck dragon by chance named Falcor? Sorry.
I don't think we're going to make it, Peter. We're going down.
That was a good Falcor impression.
Falcor, yeah.
Yeah.
You should probably just do this podcast as Falcor from now on.
I hope you guys have-
Rated NA starring Falcor.
What happened to Kristen Bell, you guys?
No.
So, Ash, what have you been doing?
You know, work was the worst ever this week, so we're not going to talk about that. But moving on from there, it was good to see you guys last week. That was awesome. I also was at a wedding last weekend. I went and saw my cousin get married, which was great. And there were a couple cousins there that I hadn't seen in like over 10 years. So that
was
kind of surreal.
Good to know that you guys weren't already related. You know, wouldn't that have been awkward if it was the same wedding?
Yeah, that would have been. Oh, shit. Matt's already my brother. I didn't know. how did we have the same mom? What the fuck? but in terms of gaming and stuff, I didn't really have a chance to do too much this week. I did complete the Mass Effect ME3MP challenge this week, the engineering challenge, and that was fun.
I still did that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And last night, went and saw Skyfall with my wife.
How good?
And, it was good. Who saw it? Anyone see it yet?
No. Not yet.
Scott, how the fuck have you not seen Skyfall?
Oh, well, my wife's birthday was this past week, so I was keeping
doing
her happy.
Hold on. I'm doing a scale thing with my hands now, and one is wife's birthday, and one is Skyfall for you.
I mean,
and,
I think we share that same opinion.
Not going to be playing for a while.
I don't know if I can convince her of my same opinion that you have, but...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, it's okay. So I saw it. I'm obviously not going to say any spoilers, but it was definitely my favorite Daniel Craig Bond film.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty hefty statement.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun, and there's a lot of new cast members this time that I think will be coming back.
Cool.
And so they were all excellent. The action scenes were excellent. A lot of the shaky cam stuff, I think, is gone, especially from the second film. So... it was good. You know, there's been a lot of complaints about the plot and things like that, but it's a Bond movie. You know, it's kind of meant to be silly. And Javier Bardem is the
I've
the
heard
main.
He's awesome as a villain.
He is absolutely incredible. Probably one of my favorite Bond villains.
How many awesome villains is that dude going to be in his lifetime? Because he's a No Country for Old Men. One of the most amazing villains from any movie, I think, ever in No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, this new villain, he's out of his mind, crazy, but almost in a comedic way.
Huh.
So it kind of harkens back to the old Bond film.
Dr. No.
They're so villainous that you're just like, is this guy for real, you know?
Yeah.
Like Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Christopher Walken.
So, you know, he's a lot like that. But, you know, I really... There's not a lot of gadgets in this one, but the ones they do use are great. You get to see the Aston Martin comes back. You know, there's a lot of fun kind of throwbacks to the old Bond series. And you get to learn a little bit about Bond's past that I don't think has ever been revealed before.
So, awesome. So super stoked.
Get to maybe see where he grew up.
Hey, Hillary.
Yeah.
Did you say offline that you played Halo 4?
I did. I started it. There's kind of an internal battle at my house where we have two Xboxes. And for some reason, Dave, my husband, he's really not interested in me taking discs from his to my Xbox because he doesn't get the Mac. So I have to play it on his Xbox, which bothers me because I'm trying to, you know, get my achievements up there because I'm far behind the rest of the population.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So yeah, it was pretty cool. I mean, I really like, you know, Cortana.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same game. I mean, I'm not gonna. It was a great. It's fun, but there really isn't anything that distinguishes it from Halo others. Halo 1, 2, 3,
well,
4.
ODST. That's a long time Halo fan. What do you think, Matt? Did you boot it up and go,
I actually did. That was
like, oh no!
I used to play Halo 2 like and Halo 1, but I played Halo 2 to a vomitous degree.
You did.
Back when I lived with Scott and another friend Adam, and I used to Adam and I would sit in the living room and sing that Halo song every time we turned it on. We're like, oh!
They had wind machines and hair, like hair down to their butts, and wind machines.
It was pretty amazing.
So picture that.
Wow.
I think the game is absolutely gorgeous. I think it's easily the best.
It's cartoony.
I think it's the best looking game. Well, that happened.
I like it.
Sometimes we disagree on things. Look. And normally I just cry, but that had to be cut for the sake of people's sanity.
So let me just say, it's almost Thanksgiving. Okay. It's almost Thanksgiving, and I'm very thankful that I'm on this podcast with Matt and Ash and Scott.
I would just like to say that I am also thankful for this podcast and that we've made it as long as we did, and I think that's really cool. And we get to talk to a bunch of cool people and play a bunch of fun games and go on good trips. So
I would just like to say
yes.
That even when we fight, I still find it hilarious. And I'm thankful for having all of you guys as well.
Excellent.
This is the best part of my Saturday morning every day.
Me too.
So
I like it. I get to drink coffee and make stupid jokes that I find hilarious. Like that one.
All right.
Yeah. Great.
Well, folks, you can find us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate, on Facebook /NerdAppropriate. You can email all of us, Matt, Scott, Ash, or Hillary with one L at nerdappropriate.com. Maybe if you email us, we'll tell you what the fight was all about. And then, join in on the site. We just had a guest review of a comic book just go up recently, and there's going to be plenty more content coming this next week with all the stuff that we talked about today and probably some stuff that we haven't yet. So keep an eye out for all of that.
And last but not least, shout out as always to Big Giant Circles, aka Jimmy Henson, who wrote this awesome theme song that we have for our podcast.
Well, let's play it for him, Scott.
Sounds good. We'll see you guys next week.